Let's read just a little bit to begin with. In Philippians, the first chapter, first verse, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace, for God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxed confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I would not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any covenant of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of light, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, for the same cause also ye joy and rejoice with me. You know, here Paul speaks of us being the light of the world. He also speaks of the glory of God, Jesus being heir to the glory of God. And I made this statement the other day. I said, you know, one thing that we've got to remember, if we ever get to be heir to the kingdom of God, we're going to have Jesus. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reason that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, is simply because Christ and Christ alone has been made heir to God's glory, or the glory of God. There is no other heir to the glory of God. No one else ever lived or shall ever live that shall be heir to the kingdom of God or the glory of God. Jesus alone being heir to the glory of God. Therefore, we must have Him in our heart to have that glory. He within us is the hope of the glory of God, because He is the heir of the glory of God. Therefore, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have not Christ in you, you have no hope of the glory, because He is the only heir to the glory. It's wonderful to be a Christian. I say this so many times. It is wonderful to be a Christian, to have a chance to come together, to reason together, to fellowship together, and to talk about the wonderful things of God. You know, it's just good just to get together like this and discuss the things of God. Isn't that right? Just to talk about the wonderful things of God. I made the statement that I believe that the revival to America is over and gone. I say again, I hope if she can have a revival, if there's something for her, that will be so. But I believe that her revival is over and gone. And I believe that the judgment of God is upon America. I believe that the great judgment of God is upon America, and the robber of thy people, which, again, as I say, not only has to do with those that are spiritually robbing the people blind, but those that are creeping into the government, those that are creeping into the law, those that are corrupting our law or the laws of the land, those that are corrupting the ministry, those that are corrupting the government, those that are slipped in unaware, they are robbing the people. They are literally robbing the people. They're taking every dollar, every dime. There is no possible way that the people of the United States or any other part of the world can survive under the financial pressure that they're going under. And the devils and demons are so forceful. The day is becoming dark. Everything around us is becoming darker and darker. The Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people, which means intellectual reasoning, education. For the Bible said people shall be heady. They shall be heady, high-minded, wanting to live high, wanting to go to the moon. They'll be heady in their minds and their thinking. They'll have a great desire to be heady and have a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding. The same thing that happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. So then people will continue to be heady. Self will. The Bible said lovers of self more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'd rather go out on a pleasure trip than go to the house of God. People in the last day will be despisers of government. They will be self-willed. They will be presumptuous. because the robbers of thy people, the devils, the demons, the evil spirits, the powers of evil will begin to infiltrate the minds of the people, begin to raise the flesh up, begin to exalt the flesh as the night comes in. For the coming of the Lord shall be as a thief in the night, which means the intellectual reasoning of gross darkness shall literally sweep over the world. And everybody will become heady. Everybody will be after knowledge. Everybody will be after education. It will be a time of being heady. It will be a time of the tree of knowledge. Any time that knowledge increases, Satan comes in. Because he is the one that started the thing from the tree of knowledge. God works by faith. God is the God of faith. God gives forth words of life. Not words of knowledge, but words of life that produce faith. Satan gives forth words of knowledge that produce death. So then, there is a continual warfare between the inner man and the outer man. Constantly warring. Constantly fighting. The robbers of thy people in the latter times, the demon spirits, shall exalt themselves. And the Bible said wicked men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I say this, that the world isn't going to get any better. We say, I think the law will finally get things under control. After a while, everything will be all right. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord, everything is going to get worse, much, much worse than what it is right now. It's better than you'll ever see it right now until Jesus comes. You say, I think it's going to be better, Brother Pike, but it isn't. It's going to be worse with the teenagers. It's going to be worse with the homes. It's going to be worse with the armed forces, with the government. It's going to be worse, more corruption. The government today is literally robbing the people. How many understand that the government is literally robbing the people? There ain't no way for them to survive. When they came from England and came from the old country, the reason that they came to America was because they could not worship God. They were stopping them from worshiping God, and they were taxing them so heavy that there was no possible way that they could survive. Some of you know that when we were in Israel, David, our leader, stood and cried and said, we can't survive the way that the government's doing this. Did you know they recently published an article? I read this article, a recent publication, that the government of today in America is spending your money at $1 million per minute. They are spending from $40,000 to $50,000 per second of your money, over $1 million per minute. They're spending your money, my money, every worker, every laborer's money. And the family of the government's getting bigger. More playboys, more tennis courts, more golf courts, more of this and more of that to lounge around, to do nothing. Getting bigger and getting bigger. And the president doesn't do anything about it. The senators can't do anything about it because they veto whatever they put in. If you got a good senator, the other group swallows them up and they kill them out. They stop them. A good man can't do anything. He can't survive because he can't find any strength. The devil is literally pressing him to death. If he tries to rise up to say something, they close in on him. They begin to boycott. They begin to get together. Folks, this is why it's so necessary for people who love God to stop their foolishness and to come together. Don't you know that we've got to come together? And God, the Bible teaches that one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. You know, even the United States uses the terms, united we stand, divided we fall. You say that's not right, but the Bible says that the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. Look at the medical profession. They link arms, they link hands, they come together. They're strong because they stand together. You can't do anything with them. The law does the same thing. The government does the same thing. Certain unions do the same thing. But look at the people of God, always scattered. And if they happen to come together, what do they find? It's always some gullible somebody that wants to devour them or rob them or take what they've got with some kind of foolishness called PTL or 700 Club. Of all the foolishness, what in the world is somebody doing with such foolishness? PTL Club with everybody, everything that can be imaginable, bring in everything that's detestable in the sight of God, put it on there. Don't you know that that is something that's abhorred of God? And the 700 Club always wanting more money. Got to have another telethon, going to buy another television station. For what? To show Batman and Superman and garbage and everything that they can put on there. Along with religion, mixing darkness and light together. All of the things of the world. When the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Always upholding football, turn on 700 Club, and it's some football, some basketball holding up something, or pushing it out and raising it up and praising the thing to poison the minds of the people and to kill the program of God. Amen. What is it? Folks, you are supporting those things. You are standing with those things. When you don't follow the word of God, you are throwing your money to the bats. You are giving your money to the blind. You're giving your substance to them that are without. How foolish people can be. Finding fault, let a man of God stand up and declare the word of God. Let a man of God tell you the truth. And Paul said, I tell you the truth, I become your enemy. Let Christ Jesus rise up like he did. And out of all of them that followed him, all of them forsook him. He had 70 left and the 70 left. And out of that, only 12 of them stayed with him. And one of them was a betrayer. God himself clothed in humanity. That shows you what kind of world it is. Paul the apostle, one of the most brilliant men that ever walked the earth. One of the most godly men that ever walked on the face of the earth. One of the most powerful men. They beat him. They stoned him. They didn't rest till they killed him. Look at John. Look at Peter. Look at the other great and mighty men. And God said, I never sent you a wise man. I never sent you a prophet. I never sent you a great man yet. But what, you didn't destroy him and didn't kill him. You know, I had a night vision last night. And in this vision, I was over in Iran. And I saw in the vision that they had taken one great man, whoever he was, I don't know. But they had done him like they'd done Paul, had stoned him, they'd brutally entreated him. And then I saw the second man that followed the great ministry, William Branham. And they had taken him and done him the same way. Because he had messed with their gods somehow or another. And then I was thinking, I thought, my dear God. Would it be a wonderful thing if they'd done me like that for the sake of Christ Jesus? I thought I was there. And you know, it wasn't long before they began to get the idea they wanted to do me like that, because I found myself messing with their gods. Messing with their gods, and they didn't like it. And they were willing to pay me with money. They were willing to give me money. I remember they wanted to give me so much money if I just leave it alone. And they brought me money. Far, far more money, you know, than one could desire. But they brought me the money. But I said, no, I won't do it. I won't do it. And they were going to do me the same way. You know what? Satan is the god of this world. And when you mess with money, money is mammon. And the Bible said you can't serve God and you can't serve mammon at the same time. And when you begin to hit their little playhouses and tear down their little games and tell them that they've got to live right, do what God tells them to do, and live holy and put away their foolishness, brother, they're ready to crucify you. They're ready to stone you to death. They're ready to cause you problems. They'll close in on you every time. Every time. I hit something here a while back, not too long ago, on TV. And when I did, immediately they struck. One lick at it, and they struck. You know what? God is still on our side. God is still with the Christians. Little Jerusalem has always been the minority and always been trodden down. Day after day, year after year, she's been beat down, trodden down, mistreated. But God has hoped her or him to survive. Israel still stands today. Still, the mighty Jacob of God still stands under all the crushing blows. Like the man said to the wicked queen, know one thing, that the great anvil has worn out many a hammer. You can beat on it all you want to, but when your hammer's all wore out, the anvil will still be there. The church has still survived all of the crushing blows and the impacts that's been hurled at it down through the centuries of time. And brother, tonight the victory of God is still here. The Holy Ghost is still alive. God is still moving. And things are still taking place. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. God is still moving. Praise God. He's still on the main line tonight. People of God need to come together. They need to do something. They need to organize, not as an organization, a denomination, or something out in the world. But they need to organize as a body of believers in the Word of God under divine leadership and supervision that God has imposed upon the people. Taking the oversight over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made the overseers to feed the church of God that he has purchased with his blood. They need to come together. They need to spread out. They need to grow. They need to get together. They need to stop pulling off to themselves and going off by themselves. If God took me off of the field to the extent to tell me that I could not go by myself, if God took me off and told me that I must unite with a brotherhood, that there must be an establishment of the church in the earth as it was in the early days of the apostolic leaders, when he took the 12 and Jesus brought them together, when Christ Jesus could have gone on by himself, he proved that there was 12 that was needed for the foundation of a city. And many stones had to be laid upon that foundation. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. God is not building two cities, just one city. I can say we're building the city of faith here and the city of faith yonder and all of these kind of things. But I want you to know God built one city. And that city, the Bible said, whose builder and maker is God. And he laid the foundations of it, and he said, other foundations can no man lay. There are not going to be any other cities built, any other foundations laid, but the one that God laid. You can say amen or oh me. God is building his city. God laid the foundation. God said to Brother Pike and Brother Taylor and every other minister, he said, I have laid the foundation. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. Other foundations can no man lay. What are these foundations of this great city that God is building? Peter and James and John, for the book of Revelation said, and their names were found in the city. In the foundation of the city, a city with foundations. I've said this a lot of times. You can go to the moon, but the moon don't have a foundation. You could continue on to the sun, but the sun don't have a foundation. This earth doesn't have a foundation. They went all the way around it, but it doesn't have a foundation. There is not anything in existence that has a foundation. Somebody say amen. Scientists have thoroughly proved that there is nothing in the universe that has a foundation. Everything is just drifting around. But my brother and sister, God built a city that's got a foundation. Abraham said, I'm searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city that's got foundations. For it had a vision of a city with foundations. And John came along and said, glory to God, I saw that city
descending out of heaven, the one that Abraham spoke of, and I saw the foundations of God. I saw the city with the great foundation. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, other foundations can no man lay except this foundation. Jesus said, I've laid the foundation. Peter, James, Paul, John, and whoever. He said, now, Brother Pike, you take heed how you build thereupon. I've called you to be a builder. Paul, you're a wise master builder. I give you a blueprint. But I'm calling you to be a builder, Brother Pike, and you take heed how you build thereon. For if you build a 700 club on this foundation, if you build a PTL club on this foundation, if you build some unionized effort on this foundation, if you build gold and silver, all of these things, football, baseball, basketball, all of these sports and all of these other things, denominational powers, prestige, if you build it on this foundation, your works are going to be tried. The day is going to try your works. And if your works burn, you're going to suffer loss, Brother Pike. But if you build on this foundation, hallelujah, lively stones that built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God, God's Spirit, for the Bible said you are God's building. Hallelujah. Take these stones, these living stones, not dead stones. You know, you can find stones out here. You go out here looking for jewels. You can find zircons. Find what's supposed to be jewelry, but they're not really living stones. They don't have any fire, but you get a hold of a real diamond. A lively stone. A living stone. Oh, brother, sister, let me tell you something. We're God's jewels tonight. He said, I will remember them who spake often of me. I like these little get-togethers, don't you? Somebody says, Brother Pike, I'm tired. I've got to go home and I can't stay. I've got to get up early and I'm busy and I've got a lot of things to do. Somebody says, well, glory to God, I've got a lot of things to do, but the first thing I'm going to do is sit here and speak often about Him. It might be 9 o'clock, it might be 10 o'clock, it might be 12 o'clock, but I'm going to stay and I'm going to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about the glorious things of God. And after a while, the hours rolled by, but they just keep on talking about Jesus. And God said, someday when I make up my jewels, I'll remember you. I'll remember them that spake often of me, them that had me on their mind, them that had the things of God on their mind. I'll remember them when I make up my jewels. And I'll preserve them, and I'll receive them as a man would receive his son. I'll remember them in the day of the judgment, and I'll take them in the day of the judgment to preserve them as a man would his son in that day. Them that spake often of me, them that loved to talk about me. I love to talk about Jesus, don't you? Somebody would say, well, I think there's just too much said about this Jesus. But I tell you what, I love to talk about Jesus. I love to wake up in the morning talking about Jesus. I go to bed talking about Jesus. Everywhere I go, I want to talk about Jesus. I remember recording a song years ago for Gerald Record Company, talk about Jesus. I love to talk about Jesus, don't you? Let's talk about Jesus. I don't know of anything else that I'd rather talk about than to talk about Jesus. So then take heed how you build thereupon. For if you build the wrong thing on there, if you build hay and you build stubble, I'm going to burn it up. But if you build the lively stones, if you build the thing up right, do it the way that God has told you to do it, at the end of the day, God will reward you. You know, this building is being built up. God's building. The Bible said you're God's building. We're being built up into that pyramid to come up here, that so that that great capstone of the revelation of Jesus Christ can come right down on the top of it. That all-seeing eye of God that can come right down on the top of it, where Christ Himself can come, and the light of the Lamb that'll be the light of that city can be there, and all the nations of the earth can walk in that light. You know, they don't like it. They don't like it. I think the other day, Pat Robinson was making some statements about them people talking about the revelation and getting away from the Word of God. I'll tell you what, I don't know what he's running to, but I'm one of them people that talk about the revelation, and I praise God for it. Amen. I'd rather talk about revelation than to do the things he's doing, talking about football and baseball. In the day of judgment, when he starts telling God about some baseball and football, he's going to be in bad trouble. But I can talk about the revelation, and God will listen. He'll listen. Hallelujah. You don't believe you'll listen? I tell you what, you start talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ and see if God don't listen. He sure will. You start talking to him about baseball and football and see if he listens. So then, God is trying to build a building. We need to come together as lively stones. God's not building two or three cities. God's not in all of this thing about building the faith city and this kind of thing. God isn't in that. A lot of foolishness. I can understand somebody building a place, a campground, or a city if it gets that big. I can understand it. And I can understand them building by faith. I can understand it being the act of faith, and they could call it faith city. But brother, if it's God's city, if it's a faith city, it's that one city of lively stones which is built according to holiness. For the Bible said, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. It's made out of holy stones, and if it's anything else, it doesn't have anything to do with God. Not anything to do with God. I want you to know, when God raises up a preacher, he doesn't beg, bum, borrow, and steal. God raises him up. God meets his needs. He doesn't have to have a telethon every few weeks. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Praise God. He doesn't have to get the bucket and send around town and bother all the merchants about giving him an offering to build the building. God didn't send him to the city to do that. God sent him there to build something by faith. When they get on these big television stations and start all this pulling and going on and talking about building this thing by faith, I don't see where faith has got anything to do with it. You pull people and beg people and rob people until you get every dollar you can and say, I've done something by faith. I don't see where there's any faith in that. You've done no more than the cons along the streets done. You just got a different way of doing it. A religious guise. You say, but I think that they're doing a lot of good, Brother Pike. So did the people that built the Empire State Building. I'm sure that they've done a lot of good. So that the people that builds the big jetliners, they do a lot of good. Is God going to take them to heaven because they built a jetliner? It's done a lot of good. I rode overseas on the big jetliners. Is God going to take them to heaven because I rode overseas on the big jetliner that somebody built? I wouldn't think so. I had to pay dear for riding on that big jetliner. They've had their reward. Those folks are getting their reward. Did you know that? But we are not getting a reward. We are waiting for the reward of God. For God will reward them that labor. God will reward them according to his riches and glory, according to his word. We have got to come together in the things of God. Now, these things don't set too well. I know it don't. But you know I like to say them anyhow. Anyhow, you say, well, I don't like that expression, anyhow. Well, that's kind of like up north, you say, we say, you-ins, and you say, you all. Say, that's wrong, they say. Well, nevertheless, Paul said, you all, that's why I say you all. The Bible says you all. At least I got a root for it. Got a foundation. All right, that's no slam on them. If they say you-ins, that's all right. Some people over in Japanese don't even say you-ins. They don't know what the word is. They still love the Lord right on. Whether you say you all or you and you don't even know what the word means. You know, and you say, yeah, 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 it don't matter. As long as it's the spirit on the inside that's loving Jesus. Amen. You know, my wife, there's times when my wife says words to me that you know, it makes me, I feel love expressions. And sometimes she just looks at me, I feel love's expressions. She don't say anything. And sometimes she says things and I just feel, that's all. You know, you don't know just exactly how to take it. Sometimes we just kind of ease out the door. But you know, if you love God, if you really genuinely love God, you'll love the brotherhood. There's no way to love God without loving your fellow man. There ain't no way, folks. You've got to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the only way. How can I love God whom I've not seen when I don't love my brother whom I have seen? And you know, to love, just like Scotty was telling me today, he said, well, Brother Pike, it's easy to love the brethren. I said, I know that, Scotty. I said, but to love means to love indeed. Not just love the fellowship. He said, I can't quite understand it, Brother Pike, because it seemed like anybody would love, you know, come around to you, love these brethren. But you got to love indeed. You got to, you know, if you had a natural brother out there digging a ditch and you walked by, unless he was working by the hour, if he was digging out a ditch, you wouldn't walk by him and leave him out there digging the ditch. You'd help him dig the ditch. The Bible said, if you see your brother have need, shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you? You say, but Brother Pike, them fellas made that need. The things we're doing, my brother, God made that need. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he made that need. I didn't make that need. They didn't make that need. God made that need. I might say, but they want to spend my money. Don't nobody want to spend your money. Don't nobody want a dime of your money. You need to get that rot out of your head. Ain't nobody wanting you nor your money. They'd love to reach your soul for Christ. And if you want to be a brother and love somebody, what do they want with your few little pennies? Praise God. When God owns all the gold and silver and God owns everything in the world, just because they make mention of something that they're doing for God, what makes you think they want your little few dimes? What you got, God gave it to you. What the millionaire got, God gave it to him. Can't God also give to us? Didn't God rain down manna from heaven to them that are in the wilderness? Why do you want to get that feeling? It's the devil, that's what it is. You got too close to the devil. Brother, I'll tell you what you need to do is get Christ in your mind. Forget about your money. Forget about your home. Forget about your cars. Forget about your properties. Forget about everything and think about God. I said, but if I'm afraid, Brother Pike, I'll get carried away in this thing. And the first news you know, I'll feel like doing something. And after I do it and get home, I'll wish I hadn't done it. Well, there's one thing about it. If you ever do anything here and you get home and you feel like you wish you hadn't done it, I hope you'll give me a call and let me know, because I'll undo it for you as quick as I can. If you ever give me a dollar and I can get it back to you, I'll sure try to do it. So you don't have to worry about getting carried away here. Just relax and get your mind on Jesus. Don't that make you feel better? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So then it's good to be a Christian. I love to feel the glory of God and the blessings of God and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I love to be able to turn loose and roar like a lion. I feel better when I do that. I feel better when I can just say hallelujah with all of my heart, all of my might, and all of my mind. To love the Lord, just to be able to turn loose and just to be able to shout and scream out, I love you, Jesus. We need to come together. We need a unity. I'm speaking of those that want to come together. I'm speaking of those that want to be part of the kingdom of God. I'm speaking of those that want to do something for God. Folks, we don't want anybody that don't want to do something for God. God said, let those of a free will. Why did God say that? Because the preparation of man's heart is from God. God said, let them women that want to sew this curtain, sew it. These curtains up here, I want the ladies that want to sew these to sew them. If you ever feel burdened doing anything for Brother Pike, I'd appreciate it so much if you'd leave it alone. Because you bother me when you do that. The Bible said, God loveth a cheerful giver. If you feel constrained to do a thing, you're doing it out of constraint, rather than out of the love of God. Brother, if we never get these buildings finished, you leave it alone, because I don't want you messing with it. If we never get it finished, if I stand before God and I still haven't got the buildings finished for the service of God, I'd rather your part would go undone. But if you love God and you want to do something, whether it's dig, whether it's give, whether it's be with us, whether it's preach, whether it's love us, whether it's strengthen us, whether it's exalt us, whether it's fast with us, or whatever, I welcome you to do it if you want to do it with joy and jubilance in your heart. Hallelujah. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why that I feel good like I do. That's why I'm able to keep going on like I go on, because I have joy in my heart. I have abundance of joy in my heart. I blossom on the inside like a rose. I feel good. It's not a have to. I wake up in the morning. I don't dread trying to do something for God. I don't dread trying to win souls. I don't dread trying to go on with God. I don't dread trying to overcome my flesh and overcome my feelings and overcome my desires. I delight in doing it. When the old flesh begins to desire and begins to rise up, naturally it wants the things of the world. It wants everything that's convenient, everything that's comfortable. But I don't want that. I want God. I want God. I want God. That's why Paul said what he did. To live is Christ. He said that I might show forth Christ in my flesh, in my body. I want to show Christ in my fleshly body. I want my fleshly body to give off Christ. I want people to see Christ in my fleshly body. I give my body to God. When a man marries a woman, what does she do? She gives him her body. That's what she does. That's what she's made for. She is made to give her body to her companion to reproduce his image in the earth continually. She's a type of the church. When God married us, we were supposed to give our body to him. A living sacrifice with all travail, with all virtue, with all purity. We're not supposed to be a sophisticated, withdrawn type of a person that wants to be this or that or have a false prestige or money or power or homes or lands or cars. We're supposed to be a mother to the children of God. You see a lipstick stuck up, ear bobbed, ear pierced, some false eyelash supposed to be? That's not what we are. We're supposed to be children of God, holy, godly, pure. I don't want to meet my wife in the morning with makeup stuck on like she baked a cake. Who wants a wife like that? That might be all right for Hollywood. You know, you see a film, you don't get too close to it. But when you got to be close and you go to kiss her on the cheek, you got a mouth full of mush. I don't want that kind of thing. I love my wife. See, God don't want to meet something like that every time he meets us. He wants to meet a mind that says, oh, Jesus, I love you. I thank you for blessing me. I'm for God blessing you. If God can bless you with $1 million, $10 million, I'm for it. I believe he'll give it to you. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. God will give you millions of dollars, but God wants you to use it for his glory. God will give you position. God will give you favor. God will give you power. God will give you health. But God doesn't want you to go out and start PTL clubs and 700 clubs and businesses and things like that that will dishonor him and put him down and make him look like some little dog behind on a string. And every time you meet somebody, you got like God behind you with a collar on him here, like some little poodle dog back here, and you're afraid to call the name Jesus, afraid it's going to mess up your deal. God don't want that. God wants you to go in and say, good morning, John. How are you? Talk a few minutes, say, it's a wonderful day. I'm glad I'm a Christian, John. Got any business we can take care of today? Praise God of you. I say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I don't see a thing wrong with it. I do it to the bankers. I do it to the judge. I do it to the lawyers. I do it to all of it. It works okay for me. I don't see a thing wrong with it. I ain't lost no money by doing it. God's blessed me. My cup's running over. I ain't lost no friends by doing it. I ain't lost no prestige by doing it. You say, well, what did you lose? A bunch of devils. When you fellowship God and call the name of Jesus, you're going to lose some devils. Amen. Some of these men with big tents, if they'd call the name of Jesus and preach the gospel, they'd lose a bunch of devils. Amen. I don't know how I got off on this. We was talking about building God's building. But anyway, that's the way you build God's building anyhow. You know, you got foundations. And this is the foundation, folks. And we're trying to build God's building. I love you. And I want to help you. With all of my heart, I do. But I can't help you if you won't listen. There ain't no way. If you won't listen to me, I can't help you. So you've got to listen. You've got to follow. You've got to do something. The worst mistake a man ever made in his lifetime is listening to himself. Did you know that? He's talked to a lot of people that was bad influence on him. But the day that he talked to himself, he talked to the worst influence he ever talked to. That's right. A man thinks more of himself than he does anybody else. And he will influence himself in the wrong way every time. Now you listen at yourself sometime and see. You know, Seth will talk to you and say, you know, that fella said so and so. I don't believe that. I believe I'm right. See, old Seth telling old Seth. Isn't that right? That's exactly the way he taught. He won't never say nothing bad about himself. Never. If he gets to feeling under condemnation, feeling a little bad, he'll say, you ought not to have done that. You know that wasn't right. You know that wasn't right. You ought not to have done that. But after all, they mistreated just what caused you to do it. All Seth. If they hadn't have done what they did, you know, like we said the other night, somebody comes hurling down the highway and they run into somebody. They jump out and say, well, you got in my way. You got in my way. Naturally, they got in their way because that's what the highway's for. You know, we crash into people and say, well, he got in my way. But see, that isn't the way it is, folks. There's a speed limit. There's a law. There's a rule. There's a regulation. There's a system. We can't just go butting heads with people all the time. It would come up, and a lot of times we started, and I'm going to close in a few minutes, but a lot of times we started, we come up and we'll, you know, picking our teeth and talking and nothing to do and just idling around. You know, you pull up to a stop sign, you spin your wheel, and you look out the window at that boy and spin your wheel, and he don't want to race, but you keep on till after a while he says, okay, and here we'll go. You know, so you come around, you stand there, and you gnaw, and you pick, and you say this, and you say that, and say, well, what do you think about this? And so-and-so said, and I don't think, and if finally, after a while, he fires off at you, and then you're all upset. But why did you say it to start with? You should have left him alone to start with. It was your fault. It wasn't his. Why get upset at him? All he's doing is giving you his opinion, just like you gave him your opinion. Doesn't he have just as much right as you do? See, somebody said, but that ain't the way I see it. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. That's the way he sees it. Now, if it's a matter of dispute and the way that God sees it, then I'll side with whoever goes this way. But otherwise, as far as I'm concerned, Brother Branham said it's six of one, half a dozen another. Your opinion or his opinion. But that's old self. All right, folks. Now I'm just getting started tonight. I really am. I'm just getting started. I know some of you would like for me to quit. That probably really disturbs you when I talk about just getting started. But I'm just getting started. But from the bottom of my heart, I feel like we need to come together and do something for God. It warmed my heart yesterday, not just for the fact that the brethren gave the $1,400 to the work of God. They've given much more than that at times. Some of them by themselves has given that much. But when I saw the number of brethren that coordinated and got together, it just warmed my heart. I thought, Lord, that's got to be the love of God. For brethren to unionize in such an effort like that and coordinate and get out there and try to do something, that has to be Christ. That has to be God. So I really appreciate that. I'm not going to try to make you do anything. So then you try to do what's right. Whether you're here, whether you're on the job, wherever you're at, do the right thing. Treat folks right. And I'll tell you what, rich has gotten by labor will increase. If you don't cut no corners, if you don't steal, if you share with God, if you do what's right, you don't hoard, don't try to be evil, God will keep stacking yours up. And brother, when it gets way up here, nobody won't knock a hole down here and all of it drain back out. It'll stay up here and keep surmounting and keep surmounting. I hope these few moments of exhortation will do you some good. Now, springtime is here, and I want to do something for God. I am desirous in my heart to do something for Jesus. If you want to do something for God, I welcome you to take my hand and work with me. If not, I love you. I'll pray for you. If you've got another mission, you've got another field of adventure, you've got another way that you've got to go, I'll pray for you. But if you can go with me, if you can be a part of the brotherhood, if we can come together as Paul exhorted them to here to do in a union for God and God's building, then I exhort you to come and be part of what we're doing. But brethren, excuses won't do. Thou art inexcusable when you fail to give your body a living sacrifice. Let's glorify God in our bodies. Let's love the Lord. I feel so undone. I feel so, you know, I just feel so wretched sometimes in the sense that I want to do more for God. And I try my very best to live just as perfect as I know how from my thoughts and every deed, every transaction. But I still, sometimes I think, oh God, we seem like that we're doing so little and there's so much to be done. And I feel like I'm just a wretch sometimes by not getting more done. And then when I look around and see some of you that don't even hardly have try, I tell you, it's really disgusting. Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You neglect your post of duty, folks, and the first news you know, you won't have any post of duty. God will take it away from you. You know, I say this over and over, and you don't believe it. Well, it'll happen to somebody, but not to me. Not to me. Self will always say, not to me. But then comes the shocking truth, and finally it happens to self. And then we say, my God. Oh, my God. It's so. What the preacher said is so. It happened. Oh, my God. It happened. And I'm going to change it. But then we begin to sink on the inside too late. All them times too late. All them times too late. Too late. Too late. And we say, my God, my God, my God. But you know that's the way it's going to be. The preaching of the gospel, the name Jesus, taught what to do for remission of sin, how to be filled with His Spirit. Can't happen to me, you know. Can't happen to me, we say. But then all of a sudden we find ourselves, we've passed over. We're on the other side. We're standing before God. And there we are. And suddenly we say, oh my God, what happened? What happened? What happened a few minutes ago? I was back yonder. Oh, I must have died. I must have died. Here I am on the other side in the presence of God. Oh my God, my God, my God. And something rings out, too late, too late. Say, oh Lord, but I want to go back. I want to start over. Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to do it like that. Lord, I had plans, but something says too late. You say, but oh God, you've got to understand, you are loving, you're kind. Don't you know Jesus spilled His blood? Some says, but too late. And then all of a sudden it dawns on you. Oh, what an impact. My. You say, Brother Pike, how do you know? Oh, brother, I tell you what, if you'd had the experience that I had, you'd understand. You'd understand very clearly, very clearly. God's got a way of making you understand. He's got a way of making you understand. That's why that the preachers can go on a lot of times when the laity don't, is because He done a few little things that made them to understand. So I tell you what, too late for some of you already. You've already done, played around, messed around, till God isn't going to, He's not going to mess with you anymore. But I tell you what, if you do like David did and throw yourself on the altar of God, stop your foolishness. Get down to business with God. I don't mean
cry a few tears. You know, make a few rearrangements. Run out for a day and do something. And get back in the same old rut in the next 2 or 3 days and go on for years. You ain't going to never get nowhere with God like that. Folks, the Bible said you got to change to the right thing. Swear to your own hurt and change not. Don't never change back. Don't never change back. Change over to the right thing. Go the right way. Don't ever change back. Don't ever look back. If you want to be cursed, all you got to do is just start depending on the world for your help. Go down in Egypt and start getting your mind and your confidence and your trust down there on their abilities and on their powers and on their system. And see if God don't curse you. Cursed is the man that goes down there. Somebody said, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I go down there and I'm doing fine. No, you go down and you just think you're doing fine. See, the Bible said there's a curse on Egypt. There's a curse on everybody that's tied in with Egypt. You're cursed. Cursed is the man that go down there. He's under the curse. Cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help. Or leaneth on the arm of flesh. See, you don't want to do that. What you want to do is look to God. Whatever God gives you, whatever God blesses you with, whatever God does for you, don't do like David. God gave him an army. David started numbering it. Oh, God was wroth. God was wroth. Let me tell you something. When you start counting your dollars, start saying, I got this, and I got this property, and I got this power, and I got this, and so forth and so on. You know, it's good to look at it sometimes and say, oh, hallelujah. God maketh rich and hath no sorrow. But you start leaning on that, you know, and I got this, and I got good credit, and I got this, and so forth, and whatever. I've got securities. God begins to, his indignation begins to boil. David began to count his strength. And the indignation of God began to boil. And God brought the wrath from heaven down upon him. Hundreds and thousands of people began to lose their lives. Said, David, I raised you up as one man. One man, you defeated an entire army. Now I give you an army, and you have to count your strength. That's what's wrong with the church today. The denominations today, one of the faults I find with the denominations today is their little numbering system, not in the sense of keeping up with who comes, but in the sense of numbering their strength to rely on them for finance and rely on them, you know, in other ways. Brother, that's wrong. That's wrong. Don't do that and get under the curse. Just praise God and keep on going and trust in God. Trust in God. Keep your faith in God. And the Lord will do something for you. The song said, keep your mind on Jesus and he'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. Just keep your mind on Jesus. You know what? I tell you what, I am going to let you go. I keep saying that. Forgive me. But you know what? A person, when they get their minds on securities, then their faith won't work. They lose their joy. But I tell you what, just shift your mind off of that for sure. Say, no, God, when I didn't have nothing, you gave me something. I made it. Now that you give me something, I'm trusting in the living God. And oh, you'll feel so happy. You'll find his blessings and his presence. You'll be back in the homeland. You'll be back on home ground. And you'll feel his lovely presence. And the Lord will breathe upon you. And oh, it'll be so wonderful and so glorious. You say, oh, hallelujah. I believe you, Jesus. I believe you. And watch and see if things don't go better for you. But you just start leaning on the arm of flesh and watch the flesh begin to fail you. Watch things begin to complicate. You say, well, it don't do that in the world. It don't do it for worldly people, but it will for you. Worldly people, that belongs to them. God isn't going to bother them. He'll let it go that way for them, but not for you. Others can, but you can't. Let's sing a little chorus together. You know, that reminds me, that little track comes to my mind. Somebody wrote one time, others can, but you can't. And it enumerated a number of things that others could do, but a Christian can't do them. Now that I asked the question tonight, I said, who's going to do something for God? Then I asked the question, where are you going to do it? Now another question is, when? When are you planning to get started? When are you planning to get started? You know, I hope you don't get offended when I say this, because I don't mean it that way, but it's the truth, so help me God. I don't mean it to hurt anybody, to offend anybody, because everything that you are that's good, everything that you do that's good, I appreciate it. I love you for it. I thank God for it. But I made the statement the other day. I said, I am utterly amazed at the time that people can waste being brother to a sluggard, waste just thinking, idling, walking, doing nothing. I mean just doing nothing. Hours go by, they don't check the clock to see if it's been an hour that they wasted or 2 hours. Mitch told me something today that really warmed my heart. Mitch said, you know, said I was telling my printers the other day, said some of the paper was being wasted, whereas sometimes we can help it, sometimes we can't. But he said, he just sat down and he figured it all up, what it costs us per paper for the loss. And every time one of those papers would go through, he said, oh, there goes 40 cents, something to that, whatever the paper is, I don't know how much. And he said he's got the printers thinking on that. And you know, a good man, the right kind of man, you get him thinking on that and he'll do something about it. He'll do something about it. Now some of you can't help, but he'll get away from that carelessness. Every time he thinks 40 cents shoots through there, I mean just like that. You think about the government spending our money, your money, at $40,000 per second. That's a lot of spending, did you know it? But we're just as wasteful if we throw it away here. The light bill, the gas bill down there, I believe Betty said it was $500 the other day. Am I correct, Betty? How much? Oh, $700. Okay, now you think about when I go to pay the light bill, you know, somebody drops $10 in the offering and they think, my lands, I gave $10 last month. How was he doing with all that money? $700 just for the light bill or gas or both. See, and I go through the building and I say, brother, turn this light off. Brother, don't leave that light on. See, because it'd be 10 lights. Nobody using them. Some brethren just idling around, fellowshipping. Won't go out and help the other brethren. Won't make their family a living. Just down there idling around. You know, I love to see you come. I love to fellowship you. But I love to see you do something, fellas. I love to see you be a part of it. You know, some come talk to me, and they just talk to me and talk to me and talk to me. You know, if you want to talk about Jesus, I want to talk about Jesus. If you want to talk about the things of God, if you need help, I love to do it. But I'll have my mind on something to try to win a soul or keep feed a poor, hungry kid, trying to get something together down there to feed up production, and it's just a hammering one from here and one from here. Just talking about the most foolish, worthless things. Mine just idle, like an automobile sitting there burning up gas going nowhere, you know. I think, oh, that's so foolish. You got a talent. You got a life, folks. Every day that gets away from you, that's part of your life gone. Every day that you spent this week, that much of your life is gone. You're not going to get it back. You're that much older. You know, you that are a little younger, you don't think much about it, do you? You don't think much about it. But see, 6 months ago, you started losing more of your life. Now it's 6 months later, and though you look in the mirror, you still look young. But no matter what you think about, you are 6 years older, or 6 months older, than you was back there. 6 months of your life has been taken off of your lifespan. It's forever gone. And it's either marked up to your good or against you. You need to do something. Now, I'm going to ask you this question in trying to find a place to close here. What need is it to hurry to do nothing? What need is it to hurry through life? All worked up. All, what do they call it? Uptight in the world, they call it. All uptight, as they say. Over nothing. You ain't doing nothing. When you could just relax, godliness with contentment is great gain. What are you going to prove? So I'm going to make a million. So what? Boy, everybody's going to know my name. So what? Well, they're going to see me. I'm going to curl my hair and I'm going to be pretty. You know? Or I'm a sharp looker. I'm going to get me a new suit and nice car. Or I'm going to get me a nice home and I'm going to be comfortable. So what? It's just for a few days and down the drain you go. And they throw you in the hole and they throw the dirt over your face. I said the other night, they take you down to the morgue, they cut your jugular vein and they take the blood out and they put you in the box. So what? What have you done? Why hurry to do nothing? Why pressure yourself to do nothing? Why rush to do nothing? Why not remember that that's your life that you're spending? And I know you're getting impatient, but I believe God wants me to say it. The devil, he'll make you impatient if he thinks it's something going to do you some good. We ain't been here that long. Pressure. See, pressure. Why pressure yourself? Kill yourself for a something that is so foolish. Say, but boy, I got it laid back. For what? For a rainy day? No, for a foolish son or daughter. So they can spend it and then not have nothing. They'll spend it in a few weeks, few days, not have nothing, and probably wind up in jail and prison besides. Because you didn't teach them to work and didn't help them to do the right thing. You ain't helping them none. You ain't doing them no good. Somebody said, I'll give them a good education. For what? Anything you could educate them with in the day we're living in wouldn't be nothing but a bunch of garbage. You need to give them God. That's what you need to do. All right, let's sing this chorus together and I'll let you go home. I hope you think over what I say. You say, Brother Pike, the things you say, I hope you think them over. I hope you think them over. Because I say these things so that they'll register. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed. Take heed how you hear them. Let these things run through your mind. Think these things over. Find a lodging place for them. Don't just hear them and let them go out. But think them over. And if they're not worthwhile, then throw them out. If they don't make sense, throw them out. But brother, think them over seriously. Because what I'm telling you is absolutely the truth. And the truth is able to make you free from the bondage that you're in. And some of you are overladen with bondage of human passion and desire, ambition, that is nothing but foolishness. Eat and drink and be merry. Tomorrow you're going to die anyway. They'll put you in a box. Let's make our talents worthwhile to God. Don't hide them. God will bless you. Don't let them be taken away from you and given to somebody else. All right, let's sing this together. We will walk in God's light, in that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us, by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Can you sing it again? We will walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright.